True believers are in a race. It is the good fight of faith. And the reality is we can finish well or not finish well. So how can we fight the good fight of faith to the end and finish well? We're going to see today the plan of God advances as Abraham finishes well.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Greg, we've been following the life of Abraham for 13 weeks now.
You know, that's right, Dave. And today we're going to see how Abraham, our paradigm of faith, finished his life well. Let's pick up our study in Genesis chapter 25. And we'll be looking at verses 1 through 18.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Well, the reality is, from Scripture, we see that the Christian life is described or illustrated as a race. It's a race that we're running, and in any race, there's those who finish well, there's those who don't finish well, there's those who don't finish. And if you have trusted in Christ, we realize that Scripture says this life, or actually we particularly, are a vapor. We see in James chapter 4 that appears for a little while and then vanishes. It's just like that smoke off the kettle. Our time on earth is very short, and eternity is so long. Now, in light of how short this life is, I hope it's your desire to serve Christ no matter what. I hope it's your desire to finish well the race that has been set before us. You see, indeed, the Apostle Paul was keenly aware, even as the Apostle Paul, that he could be disqualified, that he could not finish well. Turn with me for a second to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. The Apostle Paul shares to the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 23. He shares, "And I do all things for the sake of the gospel, that I may become a fellow partaker of it. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. And everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I buffet my body, and I make it my slave, lest possibly after having preached to others, I myself should be disqualified." The Apostle Paul was keenly aware that believers can be disqualified, that believers cannot finish well or finish well. The Apostle Paul shared to Timothy that we are in a good fight of faith. It is a battle day in and day out to trust the Lord Jesus rather than to rely on our own wisdom and understanding. Before we get to our Genesis passage, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy 4. Now the Apostle Paul understood that through his own flesh he could be disqualified, his own choices. But yet we find at the end of his life he did fight the fight. He did trust the Lord to the end. He ran the race. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. Paul is speaking to Timothy in his final words to him. "But you be sober in all things." That's in contrast to the bad teachers who aren't preaching the word. He says, "But be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry." And he says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come." He's speaking of the fact his death was imminent at this point. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing." Well, we all, true believers, are in a race. It is the good fight of faith. And the reality is we can finish well or not finish well. So how can we fight the good fight of faith to the end and finish well? We're going to see today the plan of God advances as Abraham finishes well. Today we're going to be in Genesis chapter 25. We're going to be looking at verses 1 to 18. Now, since we've come to the end of the life of Abraham, we're going to see Abraham's death today. We're going to review his life a little more than usual. We're going to go through his life and then get to the portion of our passage. So we have been studying the book of Genesis, and this is a book written by Moses, inspired by the Holy Spirit. It is initially to the Israelites who are on the plains of Moab, ready to go into the land. And yet we know that this book is certainly profitable for all believers, as are the rest of Scripture. Now, after giving us a history of mankind from the reality of God's perspective, God's perfect creation, and then man's fall into sin, we came into a portion where God's redemptive plan began to take shape. You know, after the fall, the Lord said to those who had rebelled, and then also to the serpent, he had said that through Eve's seed, the serpent would be crushed. And then we see God's redemptive plan begin to take shape as we came to the life of Abraham. In chapters 12 through 24, we've seen the life of Abraham, a man who responded to the Lord's call. He believed, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And in the New Testament, we see he is the paradigm of faith. He is the paradigm of those who trust Jesus. And we see he is one who was reckoned as righteousness, but yet he failed. But we've seen him growing. And within that, you'll remember that in chapter 12, he had stopped short after being called out of Ur of the Chaldeans, left by faith, not knowing where he was going. He stopped short in Haran. And thereafter, the Lord reiterated the promises to him that he would make him a great nation, that he would bless him, that those who would curse him would be cursed, those who would bless him would be blessed, and that in his seed all the nations would be blessed. After that, Abraham, by faith, obeyed the Lord. And we see within this the seed of the promise of the gospel, that in his seed of Abraham there would be a man who would come. God would take on human flesh. He would die for our sins and raise from the grave. And Abraham worshiped the Lord. And then we saw in the end of chapter 12 a famine where we had one of Abram's temporal failures, where he went to Egypt and he called his beautiful wife Sarah, his sister, to protect himself. And do you remember that because of Abraham's lack of faith, Pharaoh gave him livestock, male servants, and most likely even Hagar as a dowry for Sarah. And then after God delivered Abraham from his sinful circumstance, he went back to the land and he worshiped the Lord. Now with that in mind, in chapter 13, we saw Abraham yielding his rights to Lot when there was a conflict. And Lot took and went off in the direction to pick the land that was best. And then we see that Lot got into trouble in chapter 14, that the Mesopotamian kings took the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and surrounding cities captive, including Lot. And Abraham, trusting the Lord, went and delivered Lot and those cities. And then Melchizedek, the king of Salem, blessed Abraham, giving God the glory for the victory. Then we came to chapter 15, where the Lord encouraged Abraham not to fear. The Lord made it clear that his heir would not be Eliezer, the head of his household. So you see, that was what they would do. If you were childless, your head servant would be the heir. But that from his own flesh, his descendants would be as numerous as the stars. And Abraham believed because he was a true believer. And it had been reckoned to him as righteousness. Then the Lord in chapter 15 made an unconditional promise with Abraham that he would possess the land. That covenant, that he would have descendants numerous and possess the land. But yet there would be a delay of 400 years in his descendants possessing the land until God dealt with the sin of the Amorite, those in Canaan. Then in chapter 16, Abram had been in the land for 10 years, and we had the Hagar incident, where Abram listened to the voice of his wife. Now, it's not wrong to listen to the voice of your wife if she's telling you what is right. You should listen. But here in this situation, she was leaning on her own understanding. She was wanting to accomplish God's will by the flesh. And so he listened and he went into Sarah's maid Hagar, the Egyptian maid, trying to bring forth an heir, and she conceived Ishmael. Then we came to chapter 17, where Abram is 99 years old. It's been a little over 13 years since the Hagar rendezvous. Ishmael is about 13 years old. And the Lord reminds him that he is El Shaddai, God Almighty, and he restores Abram, calling upon him to walk before him with a whole and willing heart. And then he reiterates his covenant with him that it would be fulfilled and that Sarai should be called Sarah, Abram, Abraham. Sarah would bear him a son, and the heir would not be through Hagar, but through the son, through Sarah. Now, Abram initially laughed and petitioned God that it would be through Ishmael. But God made it clear that it would be through Sarah. And you shall call the son's name Isaac, which means laughter. And later on, we see that Abraham, Romans 4, did not waver from that point. He believed that God could do the impossible. Then we came to a chapter which revealed Abraham's fellowship with God. Chapter 18, where the Lord made it clear that by this time next year, Sarah would have a son. And Sarah, listening, laughed, and the Lord reproved her. And then we see that Abraham petitioned for his nephew Lot, understanding that God was going to go destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Then we came to chapter 19, in contrast to seeing how to walk with the Lord, chapter 18, how not to walk with the Lord, as Lot, that sinning worldly believer, almost gets swept up in God's judgment against the sinners of Sodom and Gomorrah. We saw the tragic life of a worldly believer, where he ends up in a cave drunk, unknowingly fathering two wicked nations through his daughter's wickedness, and those nations would be a thorn in Israel's side throughout their existence. Then in chapter 20, we saw Abraham, the paradigm of faith, falls again in the same area. He deceptively lies about Sarah, saying she is his sister before the Philistine king Abimelech. Yet God was faithful in spite of that temporal failure and protected Sarah and ultimately the son which would come from her. Then in chapter 21, we saw that God was faithful to his promise, that although Sarah and Abraham were way beyond the ability to conceive, also that she did conceive and she did bear forth a son according to the promise. She bore forth one miraculously, because with God nothing is impossible. And God's promise was brought forth, Isaac, the son of promise. We saw their responses of joy and obedience. God had fulfilled those promises he had made 25 years before, and he brought forth a son. Everything was good, and yet we see some of Abraham and Sarah's past failures coming back to haunt them, as Ishmael, a young lad, persecutes Isaac. We see that in Galatians chapter 4. He mocks him and persecutes him, and Sarah says, get rid of this maid and her son. And Abraham struggles with that, and God affirms that that is what you should do. This time, Abraham needs to listen to the voice of his wife, because it was God's will, and he did. And he cast out the bondwoman. And then we see, although Abraham had failed, that those failures did come back to haunt him with Abimelech one more time, as Abimelech made a covenant with him, seeing that God was with him in all that he did. And then we came to the pinnacle in the life of Abraham, chapter 22, where God tested Abraham, calling upon him to offer his only son, the son in whom the promise would come. And we have a tremendous passage where Abraham's faith worked. He was willing to obey the Lord, even to the point of sacrificing his son. He did not withhold his only son, and the Lord stopped him and provided a ram instead. And Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And we saw so beautifully that that account in chapter 22 foreshadows many of the elements that Christ would do for us. God the Father giving his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. Jesus dying in our place as a sacrifice, which would bring about the forgiveness of sins. The Lord provided salvation in Jesus Christ. Then in chapter 23, we saw Abraham trusting the Lord, responding by faith when Sarah dies, purchasing land within the land of promise, by faith understanding that God had given that to them. And then last time in chapter 24, we saw Abraham continue to exhibit faith on the sure promises of God that his descendants would inherit the land, and that in his seed all the nations would be blessed. And so he sought through his faithful servant to get a wife from his people for Isaac his son, not from the Canaanites, but from his people. And it's at this point we come to the end of the life of Abraham in chapter 25, where we're going to see today, Lord willing, God's plan advances as Abraham finishes well. Let's read our passage together. And there's a lot of different names here. I probably won't pronounce them all right, but I think you'll get the idea. Chapter 25, verse 1. Now Abraham took another wife whose name was Keturah, and she bore to him Zimran and Jokshan and Medan and Midian and Ishbak and Shua. And Jokshan became the father of Sheba and Dedan, and the sons of Dedan were Ashram and Letshurim and Leumim. And the sons of Midian were Ephah, Epher, Hanok, Abida, and Eldaah. All these were the sons of Keturah. Now Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. Verse 6. But the sons of his concubines, Abraham gave gifts while he was still living, and sent them away from his son Isaac eastward to the land of the east. And these are all the years of Abraham's life that he lived, 175 years. And Abraham breathed his last and died in a ripe old age, an old man and satisfied with life. And he was gathered to his people. Then his sons, Isaac and Ishmael, buried him in the cave at Machpelah in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite, facing Mamre, the field which Abraham purchased from the sons of Heth. There Abraham was buried with Sarah, his wife. And it came about after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac lived in Be'er Lahai Roi. Now these are the records of the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar the Egyptian, Sarah's maid, bore to Abraham. And these are the names of the sons of Ishmael by their names in the order of their birth. Nebaioth, the firstborn of Ishmael, and Kedar, and Adbeel, and Mibsam, and Mishma, and Duma, and Massa, Hadad, and Tema, Jeter, Naphish, and Kedema. There's a lot of new names for you, considering names for your kids. These are the sons of Ishmael, and these are their names by their villages and by their camps, 12 princes according to their tribes. And these are the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years. And he breathed his last and died and was gathered to his people. And they settled from Havilah to Shur, which is east of Egypt. As one goes towards Assyria, he settled in defiance of all his relatives. Now you're saying, probably I just could read through that and I'm done. And often with these statements which have generations or genealogies, it seems as though, why is it here? And we need to ask that question. Why does God place this in his word? Because it certainly is easy to just read through it and say, okay, we're ready for the lunch. But the reality is there's much more to this, and God's word is inspired and he desires us to understand. So we want to know his intent. Now, if you'll remember, after the flood, man, in disobedience to God's command, stayed on the plains of Shinar, and they set up a tower in active religious defiance to God. And at this point, God scattered men across the face of the earth, and he turned from dealing with those who would become the nations of the earth to one from whom would come one nation, specifically, in whom would come a redeemer who would bless the nations. God turned away temporarily from working with the nations to work with one nation to bring salvation, blessing to all the nations, all who would believe. And that's his plan. And the portion we're looking at here is he has turned to one man from whom this man would come, the nation of Israel, but ultimately the Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who would then bless all the nations. And we've been looking at God's salvation plan, and we've seen it thoroughly in the life of Abraham, and now we come to the point where we have the record of his death. And we have the question, really, that might come up. What's going to happen to the plan of God? Abraham's dying. And thus we come to a portion where we have the answer. As we'll see, the salvation plan moves from Abraham to his son Isaac. And I believe within this, we're going to be encouraged to finish the race well. Okay. So as we begin our look at chapter 25, notice that Abraham is blessed with more children as God fulfills his promise. Verse 1, now Abraham took another wife whose name was Keturah, and she bore to him Zimran and Jokshan and Medan and Midian and Ishbak and Shua. And Jokshan became the father of Sheba and Dedan. And the sons of Dedan were Ashurim and Letshurim and Leumim. And the sons of Midian were Ephah and Epher and Hanok and Abida and Eldaah. All these were the sons of Keturah. Now you might say, why does God place this in this position? You know, now, although it is grammatically possible for a case to be made that possibly Abraham had taken Keturah as a wife while Sarah was living, the context really mitigates against that. I believe that Abraham, after Sarah died, then took Keturah as his wife. I think the context seems to apply that. Now, there are some contradictory issues that we have to look at here, because you're saying Abraham finished well, and wait a second, he's taken another wife, we got this word concubines, what's going on here? How can he be finishing well in this context? I think we're going to have to look at a couple things. We know that Abraham, as we will see, Hebrews 11, died in faith. That he did trust the Lord, that he was one of those in the hall of fame of faith. So here, you say, well, how could he be a godly man when he had multiple wives at the same time? And you look down at verse 5. Now, Abraham gave all to Isaac, but to the sons of his concubines, plural. Uh-oh. What do we do with that? Abraham gave gifts while he was still living and sent them away from his son Isaac eastward to the land of the east. So we got to deal with this word concubine. What's going on here? And plural. Now, first of all, we need to understand what a concubine was in the time of Abraham. And I'm going to be very general for the sake of the audience here with the kids. But culturally speaking, a concubine was considered to be a wife. And you'll see, even with Hagar, he took Hagar as his wife. Here he takes Keturah as his wife. And we have in 1 Chronicles chapter 132, Keturah is called Abraham's concubine. And during the patriarchal era, often the terms were interchangeable, but yet there was those who were wives specifically, and concubines were on a slightly lower level, but they were considered to be wives. To have relations apart from your wife was still wrong in adultery, but yet there were this issue of concubines. So here we see Abraham, verse 1, took another wife whose name was Keturah. So God calls her a wife, and she's also called a concubine. Okay, so with that in mind, we know that God's plan for marriage is one man and one woman. We see that in Genesis. Very clearly, Genesis. Yet we see in the Old Testament situations where there were multiple wives. I believe we'll see it more so when we get to the issue of Jacob. We're going to see that God allowed, but yet did not approve. And we'll see in every situation where there were multiple wives, there was trouble. You see, when you disobey God, whether you understand it or not, there's trouble. And there was less revelation back at this time, and we're going to talk about that. But we saw earlier the Hagar incident, which God did not approve of. Galatians chapter 4, she was of the flesh. It was a wrong decision to listen to the voice of his wife to try to get an heir through Sarah's handmaid Hagar.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and today's message is from Greg's series in Genesis. You can hear today's message again by visiting us online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, in addition to today's message, you'll find other Bible studies and audio series at our website. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are provided at no cost to you. This is made possible by the Lord's faithful provision through listeners like you. For more information about this series in Genesis or the ministry of Equipping the Saints, visit us online at etsradio.org. You know, Greg, this extensive look at the life of Abraham has shown us how we too can finish our lives well.
You know, Dave, absolutely. And we see that Abraham demonstrated that by believing God, simply taking him at his word, and thus conducting our lives according to his written word is how we can finish well. And that process can't begin until we believe his word concerning our state as lost sinners with a huge sin debt that we could never pay, and then accepting his free gift of redemption through the shed blood of Jesus Christ to pay the penalty for our sins.
Once that's done, the life of faith begins. And, oh, we stumble and fall, as Abraham did. But like Abraham, if we continue to believe what God said, trust in His Word, we can finish well, like Abraham did.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you're receiving spiritual benefit from Equipping the Saints, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? Every gift makes a difference. No gift is too small, and every dollar is put right back into the ministry. To send a gift to Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to donate online, our web address is etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time, right here, for another edition of Equipping the Saints.